What's up, Abundant Babe? I'm so glad you found your way here. You're in the right place for the highest of vibes, the silliest of laughs, and the best of the bunch. All things related to spiritual entrepreneurship and creating holistic success. This is your host, Viola Hug, a coach for women who desire to have it all, alignment, wealth, impact, and joy. Come find me at Viola Hug on Instagram, join my free Abundant Babes group on Facebook, or grab a copy of my best-selling book, You Are an Abundant Babe, on Amazon. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello, hello, welcome back to the Abundant Babes podcast. This is your host, Viola Hug, and I'm so excited. Today I have Adriana Monique Alvarez joining me. Hi, Monique. Adriana.
It's okay. I have to tell you that it's only in recent times that I've decided to pull all three of my names together. So a lot of people still know me as Monique. So you're totally good.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, cool. Well, welcome, welcome. It's good to have you.
Same here. Thank you.
Yeah. So for those of you listening and just getting acquainted with either the two of us or Adriana, Adriana is actually going to talk about some really cool stuff with us today that I'm excited about. A lot around like courage of telling your story. But one of the things that she actually does is she focuses on helping women get on TEDx stages. So for anyone who's like, I've got a dream, you know, speaking on a TEDx stage, hashtag I'm putting my hand up, and becoming a best-selling author, this episode is going to be so good for you because that's literally what this woman does. So I'm really, really excited to dive in. I would love to get a little bit more personal and have you kind of share your story. Like, how did you get here? Like, what's your story?
How did I get here? It's been a long road. Yes. Yeah. I think so many times we think entrepreneurship is a fast track and we're going to break records and we're going to do it differently than everyone who's gone before us. And I basically grew up in business. Both of my parents have owned businesses for over 30 years. So entrepreneurship is in my blood. Mm-hmm. But it took a long time for me to figure out my own path. I was a volunteer overseas in orphanages all of my 20s. I got married at 30 and I looked at my husband and I said, let's not have jobs all day that we don't really like, come home and have a dinner, watch a TV show, go to bed and do it all over again. Mm. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
So we decided to start a business. And what we did initially was help people just like my parents. I knew the strengths and weaknesses of my parents and I knew that they weren't really that good at the internet. They didn't know anything about social media. Mm-hmm. You know, websites and all that were not their thing. So the first rendition of our business, that's what we did. And it's evolved, especially after we had two babies in 12 months.
Wow.
And that's when we transitioned. Yeah. Yes. Actually, we just got through birthday season. So the first one was born January 2nd.
Yeah.
A year later, January 22nd.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
That's motherhood. Yeah, that's baptism by fire. That's what I like to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm currently 25 weeks pregnant or 26 weeks pregnant. And so
congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm like, somebody said to me, I have a feeling you'll have your kids really close together. I'm like, what does close together mean? Now that's super close together. And I was thinking like, oh, a few years maybe.
Right. That's more normal. That's more sane. Yeah. So just imagine you're holding your 3 month old and you find out you're pregnant.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's what I did. So obviously, as you can imagine, everything really shifted once babies came into the picture.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's when we went from being local and working with brick and mortar to coming online, this wild world of online mm-hmm. business, because I had to figure out how to leverage myself and how to mm-hmm. do this smarter because I had a baby in each arm, literally.
Yeah.
And what led to books and storytelling and now the TEDx stage, it really was just an evolution. I've worked with about 1,200 women in 34 countries in the last 3 years.
Wow.
And they kept saying they want to write a book. They want to tell their story. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed is that almost no one got around to doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's one of those things.
You want to. It's mm-hmm. like on the wish list, the vision board. But you're running a business. You might be a mother. You might be married. You might have a part-time job. You might have other things going on. And so it's like, when do I... have the time to do this. And so it was actually 2 years ago, I ran my first program where I was helping women tell their story through like articles and publications. Mm-hmm. And I was getting ready to announce that I was going to start helping women write their own books. And I actually experienced a real defining moment in my own life. I had a stillbirth at 38 weeks.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
And so at that point, I had to figure out what I was going to do. And what it came down to was just putting one foot in front of the other. And so I didn't launch that. I just carried on with what I was doing in my business. Mm-hmm. And then last year that came back to the surface. And so that's what I started last year. I just put out the call and I said, do you want to tell your story in a best-selling book? And so far, like over 70 women have said yes to that.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
So here we are.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's such a, like, that is a huge defining moment in your story. And secondly, I think it's such cool work that you're doing as well, because I also, like, I have a book and I published it last year via self-publishing. Mm-hmm. And I remember for me, like, when I finally did it, everyone's like, oh my God, like, how did you do it? But I remember the crazy thing for me is exactly what you just said. And this is the same with so many of my clients, so many of the people I come across. They're like, I would love to do this one day. I would love to do this one day. But I think it's not even only in my perspective or how it felt for me, not even only that it's just like, you don't get around to it. It feels so elusive. It's like, where do you even begin? Like, how do you even, like, when are you like qualified to tell your story in a book? You know what I mean? Like, when are you to speak on a stage? Like, it's like this thing where we kind of like put it on a pedestal and we're like, oh, this is like one day I'm going to be sought out and then somebody's going to tell me to write a book and then I'll be ready. When that's like not
really. That's just it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not how it works, right? Mm-hmm. So you said exactly what so many women tell me. So, you know, I'll go live or I'll write a post on social media. And women, I'll never forget the day the first woman wrote me and said, well, I thought this was the sort of thing that you basically like sat at home and wait for the phone to ring.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, no, that's actually not how it works. Like, you just raise your hand and say, I'm doing this because, mm-hmm. but you're right. It's a book or telling your story, get on the TEDx stage. It just feels like other people do that and you're not quite ready. You're not quite there. And not having a starting point is probably the biggest roadblock. Mm-hmm. Where do you start on all of this? Because it can be very overwhelming. And I mean, congratulations on doing your book, because so few. It's such a small percentage that actually cross the finish line.
Oh yeah, I absolutely agree. And I actually, the reason that I started as well is because a fellow coach friend of mine did it. And she's like, I'm going to run a masterclass and share like how I did it. And I was like, I'm in. And I think like 30 people were in that masterclass. And only a small handful of those people like actually even did it when they had like the how to in front of them. You know what I mean? Cause I never even heard of self-publishing before that. I was like, wait, what? What is this? And then I was really excited about it. And I was like, and I also like kind of dropped the pressure for myself. Cause what I hear a lot of people say as well is like, oh, but like, you know, I want it to be really good. And my first book has to like be this like huge thing. And I'm like, you do realize that your story is already so freaking powerful. And if you share your story in a book, it becomes a starting point. It becomes leverage and you can always write more books. It's not like, it's like, oh, you've written your book, like no more, you know,
no.
If you ever evolve, like that can't be told in a book anymore. Like, no, thank you. And I mean, I know that there's like, you know, I probably could have put more in-depth concepts in my book. I probably could have this, I probably could have that, whatever. But I probably could have had an actual editor look over my book, you know, who knows. But the thing is that I know for the rest of my life, I'm going to be so proud because it's an achievement. Like, you know, like I can hold my physical book. So many people have been impacted by my book. And it was like through sharing a story that feels like nothing to me, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it's just my life, blah, you know, whatever. But for other people, and when we learn to see the magic in our own story, it's like one of the most like impactful and beautiful things.
It's so true.
Mm-hmm. And I know, oh, sorry, you go.
No, you said it exactly. There tends to be a lot of pressure to make that first book like the masterpiece of all masterpieces. Yeah. By the way, don't look at the cover of my first book, right? Like, but that's not it. It's just getting it done, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, even a short, simple book that probably isn't very well edited, probably has a horrible cover, right? Probably didn't know everything, right? It can still have a huge impact, like you said. I still remember the same thing. I would receive messages from people like, oh, this was so helpful. This changed my life. This, I made a decision because of this. And then I got 35 clients on the back end of it. And I was like, oh, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Oh yeah. The amount of like things where I'm like, you know, someone shares my book and I like reshare it on my Instagram story. And then I have someone else message me and they're like, oh, what's the link to your book? And I'm like, here you go. And then like a month later, they're like, so how do I sign up to your programs and coach with you? And I'm like, this is the magic.
That's the magic, right? Because
and it's like a year later and it's like, you know what I mean? And it's the gift that keeps on giving, I keep saying.
It's so true, because anytime someone reads our story, hears our story, they know you. And now they have figured out all of the things that you have in common. They can see in you what they want to see in themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden there is this bond that doesn't really happen any other way. So it's like the equivalent of you hanging out with them for months on end, because they have been spending that time with you, but it mm-hmm. was just in your book.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what I say. It's like, probably in my perspective, it's the highest value for the lowest price that you can give them, you know?
Oh, yes.
Mm. Absolutely. That's so incredible. So I also, like, I want to talk about sharing your story and everything like that, because I think that would be super valuable. But I also want to ask about the TEDx stage. So I've written a book, so I know a little bit about that, and I've helped a couple of clients write a book, which has been great. But I'm like really curious about this TEDx thing. Like where do you find that kind of comes into the picture? Like, is that the same thing? People put it on a pedestal, and but it's actually more accessible than you think? Or like, tell us about TEDx speaking.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, when I go on social media and I ask the question, like, who wants to speak on TED, the TED stage? Like, it's interesting how many people go, yeah, that's my 5-year plan, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we all kind of know what happens to 5-year plans, right? They don't happen usually, yeah, you know?
The laugh usually gives it away.
Yes, exactly. So how this came about was I am always asking my clients to go as deep as they can, whether they're contributing a chapter in a, you know, a multi-author book, or they want to approach their own solo book. And what ended up happening for me, my own personal journey, is I'm in the trenches with them, and I could feel that it was time for me to tell my story about my stillbirth. Mm-hmm. But what I like to say is, oftentimes the story we're most reluctant to share is the most powerful one. Right?
Oh,
it's the next one. And I didn't want to share that story for a whole bunch of reasons. I've got a long list in a notebook why, mm-hmm. but it was just the one that kept showing up. Mm-hmm. And it was the one that I knew was going to ask everything of me. And so I in my own internal world, and you know, on behind the scenes, I started looking at how I could do this and how I could make an impact. And mm-hmm. I was on another podcast. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, the host said, there's someone I've got to introduce you to. And this woman, after we got on the phone, turns out that that's what she specializes in, is getting women in particular on the TED stage. And very quickly, right, she's got this whole methodology. And I said, okay, so I've been on her journey. And I said, you know, a lot of your clients who've given their TED talk or are going to, it would be great if they had a book to pair with it. And a lot of my clients who are writing a book or have a book would love to be on the TEDx stage. Can we come together and create something that mm-hmm. allows women to have both and mm-hmm. like have maximum impact? And that's what I call this, is multiplier impact. And it's like, we come together to give women this opportunity, and it's not as elusive as we think. But if mm-hmm. you don't have a guide, mm-hmm. yeah. Everything's harder when you don't have a guide. You know, we've traveled a lot, and when we would take a tour, it's a totally different experience than when we try to navigate it by ourselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh my God. My husband and I traveled for like a year and a half or over a year and a half just before we like settled here into Canada. And we got ourselves into some situations, like, honestly, like, because we're just like, we're fine, like, we can figure it out. Yeah, some countries, that is not the smart decision to make. You know what I mean? Like, we got ourselves into some pickles, and like, I literally like still feel scared when I think back to some of the situations we got ourselves into. like there's like being open to experiencing a culture, and then there's like being naive.
Right. Exactly. It's the truth. And I know that. And the thing is it's like, you don't know what you don't know. And if you haven't traveled the path before, like, you have no idea what lays ahead. And so that's what I love doing. And also, I think because especially with these two things, they feel so big and daunting, and they have multiple moving parts. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget the real big thing is that you will go on such an insane internal journey when you start looking at the story you're actually supposed to tell, mm-hmm. and how much courage you have to do that. So you actually, not only do you need support in that internal personal transformation, you realize also when you're in the depths of that, the last thing I need to do is be coordinating 15 moving parts on the practical side.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You are so right about that, because that's like what I always say. Like, and when I think back to my book journey, I think the reason why I was able to write and publish my book, I did it in 2 months, 2.5 months, including the publishing. And the reason that I was able to do that so fast though, is because I knew exactly like things you don't think about, like, what font are you supposed to use in a book? You know what I mean? Like, yes. And then also it's like things like, for example, with Amazon, it's like, you don't just like publish it with the categories. There's ways that you can maximize like the categories, but you don't, it's not like simple. It's confusing. And it's like a secret. Like, you have to like learn it.
You said the word.
Yeah.
Secret. So a friend of mine recently asked me, why are you doing this program? Like, why are you pulling together your coach? Why are you offering this? Why are you really looking for the women who are like insanely and incredibly brave to do this? Why are you doing this? And I said, because what I learned when I started writing for publications, because that was a big dream of mine when I came online, I said, okay, how do I translate? I've been in business for 7 years offline, but how do I get them to like recognize me online? So I wrote my book, and I started pitching to publications. And I said, what I learned is that there are secrets. Mm-hmm. There's a secret to getting into Forbes and Huffington Post, International Living, and all these things. But if you don't have access to that vault of secrets, mm-hmm. you are not going to get it done. And this is what I've found as well, is that women especially, number one, they're not even aware that all of these are secrets, right? And most of these secrets are not held by women. And so that's what I'm always looking is, okay, as soon as I figure something out, I teach it, I share it. Okay, this is how you get into that door. Because if you don't know the 4-digit PIN code, right, it's going to feel like a wall you can't get through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's like why, because I had like my basic start, and then I literally spent like so much of my time researching and like pulling out my hair, because I was like, oh, like, how, why, all this stuff. And that was besides the point that I was like literally writing my story. And that's like what I literally said the same words that you said. I said it was the biggest internal transformation that I've had doing anything, because you don't ever look at your story like you do when you're like, what is my story? And it sounds funny, because people are like, oh, what's my story? Well, I grew up here and I did this and I did that. But then when it's actually like, well, what are the lessons? Like, how did I become who I am? You know what I mean? Like, what were the turning points in my life? And then you're suddenly like, oh, damn. And one, I was like, holy shit, I'm awesome. Like, that was one thing.
Yes. Yes.
And then, but then another thing, it was like healing. It was like, oh my gosh, like it was empowering. It was like all of these things mixed together. So I 100% agree with that. I think it's like, it is like a journey to embark on if you want that kind of experience for yourself as well. It's not just like, oh, write a book, like, so fancy. It's like, no, it's no. deep transformation.
It's messy. It's raw. It's mm-hmm. deep. You know, recently we went to Sydney. I have a huge client base in Australia. And so we went in December to visit some clients and to visit authors. And I remember this one lady, she was sitting across from me and she said, when I contributed to that book, going through the process, what happened is I could see that my entire life made sense. Mm-hmm. But somehow I didn't get it until that moment. Right. And she referred to a few things, you know, from her childhood, a failed marriage, this, that, and the other. And it was like, when you go through the process, all of these pieces that seem so random and disjointed, and like you said, you are able to give yourself credit because you can see who you have become and now all that you have to offer.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. That's amazing. And so in terms of actually telling your story, like you talk about how it takes a lot of courage, and I agree with that. And you said about how the stories that we feel kind of like resistance to are often the ones that are the most powerful. Can you walk us a little bit through that? And like, if you have any tips that you want to share with the audience as well, like as you're sharing around what that actually like looks like for someone who is wanting to explore their story a little bit more or be a little bit braver in how they're sharing and showing up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what I have found is, number one, having a regular practice of being quiet. It's a rare thing in our modern society to not have earbuds in our ears, to be learning something, to be watching something, to be digesting something, consuming something. It's rare to have quiet time and downtime. But what I've noticed is that still quiet space is where things can float up. Things that are within us, desires, ideas, stories. So I recommend, even if it's just for a few minutes a day, if you can create the practice of quiet stillness, and it's not always stillness in the same way for everyone. For example, sometimes when I'm having a hard time getting still, I'll go for a long walk and I'll go walk through the trees or walk through the park. And the other part of this is looking at the areas of our life or the experiences of our life that we feel shame around. Mm-hmm. And the way I define shame is, we think if anybody knew about that, they wouldn't look at me the same way.
Hmm.
And it's those experiences and stories where we feel shame that most likely will take us to the stories and the points that can bond us and connect us to others in the most meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, will heal us. And then also we figure out we're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there has to be one person who's willing to go first and say, for example, it was just a few days ago, I decided to go live in my private Facebook group and I shared the things I didn't want to put in my TED Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And why. And it was the most raw, snotty, right, tear-filled live I've ever done. And while I'm live, there are women putting in the comments the things that they have felt shame about, right?
Mm-hmm.
My child being addicted to drugs, my son going to prison, my child going through this illness, you know, mm-hmm. a loss of some kind. These are the things that make us human.
Mm.
And when we are afraid to show our humanity, then we're living at the most surface level.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that's going to be our most meaningful work. There's no way that that's going to attract the absolute best people for us to work with. Mm-hmm. And in terms of our own personal evolution, if we keep putting those things in that back corner and keeping all of those skeletons in the closet, and we keep believing that there's only certain parts of us that are acceptable, then we're stifling our own growth.
I 100% agree with that. And I'm like so touched with the way that you shared that as well, because I think like sometimes we get in our head, and I don't know if it's because of the way that like previous business was, because like in like the generation before us type thing, you know, like being polished and always like having everything together was like how you came across as the best business person in town. You know what I mean? But
oh yes,
the truth is now it's like the more people can relate with you, the more successful you will be. And I think that's why there's such an uprising in women really owning the online space, because women are more naturally connectors quite often, you yes. know? And so it's like, it comes a little bit more naturally in some instances, but then it's still like, we have this like mentality that's like, okay, that's good for me to share, but that's not, that's like, that's a good strategy. That's not. But if we're thinking about like the main goal is human connection, then mm-hmm. it's like the more human we are, the more we will connect with people, right?
Yes. Mm. And here's the thing, because I watched my parents go through this, right? They had to put on, everything always had to be right and good and perfect mm-hmm. because, you know, we lived in a small town. So it's like living in this glass house, right? And you don't want anything to be a poor reflection and people think you're not capable of business. And that has always been in the background for me, mm-hmm. you know? And right after I had my stillbirth and I made the announcement, because I was living a very public life, right? This is how we grow our business. We post everything on social media. So everybody knew. There was no hiding this, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember it was days. I made the announcement just a couple of days after we buried her. And within moments, a lady decided not to work with me anymore because she didn't feel like I was capable anymore since I had experienced this. And that moment, that event really stuck with me. And I thought, okay, see, this is, everybody knows now, but I don't need to talk about this, or I don't even want to spend another minute like looking at my own journey of it, because if I do that, I will lose my business. I will lose all my clients and people will look at me as incapable. And it took me nearly 2 years to work that belief system out.
I'm so glad that you shared that, because that's, I think, like the fear for a lot of people. And I always say though, like what happens to us is because we're meant to teach on it. You know what I mean? And so it's like, obviously there was healing for you to happen with that. But it was so funny because, I mean, this is like a completely different level of my story, but I remember even when I was like pregnant, I was like really worried to tell people. Yes. And like clients that are signing up with me that are like, wait, if I'm signing up with you for like 6 months and you're going to be having a baby in the middle. And I'm like, sure, maybe, you know, like I felt like this like resistance to telling them. But here's like the craziest thing that I noticed, is that the people that we're meant to work with get us. Do you know what I mean? And they love us and they actually honor those parts of us. So when I say to my clients, I have no idea what's going to happen because I've never been a mom before. You know, I've never had a baby. I don't know. But my plan is that I'm not going to be running programs over the time. I'm only going to have one-on-one. I'm going to give myself 2 to 4 weeks where I'm going to say I might not be available and we can put it onto an extension on your contract. But then if I'm feeling fine, I'll be there, you know? And everyone's like, that's amazing. Go you. Yeah, I'll sign up. You know, like no one's like, oh, that's terrible. And if they did, it's like, that's fine. Like a different coach is a better fit for you then. That's fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so true. And we have to allow ourselves to relax into that truth.
Yeah.
That our people, they get us. They're going to allow us that, you mm-hmm. know? And if they have a really harsh stance against it, then let's not do this.
Yeah.
Let's not totally. Do this.
I visualize and like my experience so far. And when I visualize the clients that I call into my life that I want to work with, it's like, we have fun together. We get each other. Like there's like this respect for each other. And to me, that's like, that means that we don't have to be afraid of those different things coming up. And in fact, like if anything, my clients are honoring me more in this space because they're like, yeah, if I went through something like that, I'd want time off. So I want a leader who's an example of how I would also want to be treated in that scenario, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And I mean, we have to remember at the end of the day, we're all navigating life together. There's not a guarantee for any of us, right? Whether you're expecting a baby or not. I mean, things can happen just like that. And so it's like, we learn to like you said, respect each other and go, okay, we're navigating this together and we're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, that's so beautiful. And I also, like, another thing that came to mind when you were sharing was I remember when I first launched my podcast, I was like real excited and I was doing interviews and I was sharing. And then I was just at the start of my business. And so I thought, what would be like really powerful for me is maybe to share a little bit of my story, right? Because a lot of people at this point in my life, because I'd done a lot of personal development work. I mean, I still had a lot more to do. Obviously, we always do. But I was at the point where I was very much like, I saw a lot of abundance in my life. I had a lot of gratitude in my life. I had an amazing husband. Like, you know, things were pretty good. And that hasn't always been the case for me. You know, like I've been through a lot of mental health stuff. I just made really stupid decisions when I was in dark places when I was younger. And for some odd reason, this story was nagging at me. It was like, tell this part of your story. And I was like, no, shh, like you have no business. And I was like, and I was trying to talk myself out of it. I'm like, what's the relevance? Like, I don't work in that field. Like, I don't need to tell this. Like, you know, I was like all the different reasons why I shouldn't need to tell this story. But for some reason, it was like, it kept coming up. And every time it came up, I'd feel like embarrassed, or like, I'd feel like, oh, like, will people take me serious? Or, you know, like this kind of icky feeling. And so I recorded it. I can't remember. I think it must've been like episode 10 or something of my podcast. It's called like, really hoping nobody listens to this episode. I think that's what I call it. And yeah. And then I like, yeah, I don't know. I just talked about that part of my life for not very long. And I remember I was like shaking as I was recording it. And I was just like, just post it, close your eyes, do it. And I posted it. And then all of a sudden I had this influx of people coming to my podcast and this influx of people messaging me and being like, oh my God, it was like so cool to hear that. I never would have thought that you've been through that. Like all of this stuff. And then that was the first moment that I had. It's like, maybe it's not so bad to share these things. You know what I mean? And since then I felt a lot braver around sharing things. But it's like, I think in my personal experience, it's like, it's not that you have to tell something you're not ready to tell. Do you know what I mean? Like if there's a part of you that's still healing and you don't know how to share it, you don't have to be like, oh, I have to tell every single one of my deepest, darkest secrets to be a success in business. It's like, you'll know when the right time is because it will come up for you and it will feel like I should do it, but it's still going to be scary. But it's like, you know, it's going to tell you that that you're ready to share it. So it's not that you have to share every single part of you. There's still parts of my story I haven't shared, but yes. It's like, don't, when it comes up, don't feel like it's going to ruin your business or your reputation or whatever, because like you said, it's about human connection. And that's really, you know, and people might've not had the same experience as you, but they're relating to the emotions you went through or whatever, mm-hmm. You know, it's, I think it's so powerful.
Absolutely. The story will present itself.
Yeah.
And then we get to choose what we're going to do from there. Are we going to be afraid and not take action? Or are we going to be afraid and find our courage a little bit day by day, step by step to get there? And sometimes it's like finding your safest circle, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can go further out and you can tell it on bigger platforms and bigger ways, but it's just about starting.
Yeah.
Saying it to yourself is a good first step.
Yes, exactly. Like I remember there's like some things, you know, that I work through and it's just like, sometimes the only person I tell is my husband because I'm like, he loves me. I'll just tell him, you know, and I'm like always like so surprised at how scared I am to share it. And he's like, oh, that's like, thank you for sharing. Or that's amazing. Or wow, let me give you a hug or whatever. And it's like always like just such a nice experience. And then I suddenly feel like this whole weight off my shoulders. And then I'm like, oh, permission for me to start working through it. You know, that's almost what it feels like in a way. It's like, oh, it's not that bad actually. You know what? Like I made it into this huge thing in my head and he's just like, well, that's fine.
So true. Yeah. We just internalize it over and over. It does. It can grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I remember I did a Tony Robbins event back in 2014 and he like makes you like take these stories and like turn them into like I don't know, it's like NLP technique, you know, they like, you turn the story into like, I don't know, like a cartoon, or you play it backwards, or you make them have like funny hats in the memory and things like that to try and disillusion the memories. But it was so funny because even some of those things didn't work. Like I would still feel shame around those experiences. And then as I started to just like share it with my husband or whatever, then it was just like suddenly it was like, oh, okay, like why do I feel bad about that for one? And then two, you know, it's just like it's calling it out, which yeah, it can be so incredibly healing for us.
Absolutely.
So in terms of people who are listening, like some people might be like, oh my God, it's time to write my book. Oh my gosh, it's time to get on a TEDx stage. Some people are like, what you just said, it's time to pair the two. I'm like, I already have my book, so hello, TEDx. I'm yes. coming for you. But also it's like, do you have any tips for people who are maybe like starting somewhere where maybe that still doesn't feel like the right place to start, or that they want to start showing up more vulnerably or authentically or whatever, you know, the right terminology is here on social media, even like you shared, you just did like a live stream in your group where you shared some of these things. Like, where do you think the place is for that? Or how can you show up, with courage around your story in like a more accessible platform maybe?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So I like to say, use whatever platforms you have right now. So I recently did a 5-day mini series on this. Basically, how do you approach the two, the TED and the best-selling book, or, you know, or whatever component you're missing. And I shared about how when we were in Australia, we went to see a Basquiat and Keith Haring exhibition. And they were very young artists in New York City, and they lived very short lives. And what really stood out to me in their exhibition is that they used what they had in incredible ways. And sometimes mm-hmm. it was just scraps or trash or, you know, and so you look at the platforms you have in front of you, mm-hmm. you're probably sitting on social media where you can go live, you can create stories, you can write posts, you can write articles, you can write blog posts, you can get on podcasts. Mm-hmm. Whatever is right in front of you, utilize it. The first mm-hmm. thing that I did when I came online is I went live every single day. I have done over 1,000 live streams on Facebook because we have to have practice, right? Please don't watch the first 100 I did, please. But it's like, we have to start doing this. And then I wrote every single day. And then I wrote for tiny, no-name online publications. And then I got in every top-tier publication that everybody wants to get into. So it's about starting where you are, mm-hmm. doing it consistently, building that muscle, mm-hmm. building that muscle so that you practice telling your story, you gain confidence, and then you also are allowing yourself to receive that feedback from others going, mm-hmm. this is awesome. You need to keep going. This really helped me, because every time we get a piece like that, it gives us the courage we need to go a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally love that. And something that just, this is like, I don't know if this is like even a question that you can answer, or if it's just like one of those things that's like, you just know because it comes forward for you. But like, if someone's saying like, yeah, but I don't know where the value in my story is, like, where does somebody start with that? Like, do you think it's just like, for example, going on a live stream and talking about maybe what's relevant or what's coming up for you in the moment. But then I think that's very different than sharing like aspects of your story, for example, you know what I mean? Like what you're going through and then how you got here are kind of like both valuable, both incredible, but very different. So for somebody who is looking at their story and they're like, well, what, like, I don't understand, like, I only just started, or I, you know, like, I haven't been through a loss, or, you know, like, how does somebody find the magic in their story?
It's a good question. So basically what I say is every story does have value, not only for yourself, but for others. So one exercise that I used to take clients through was writing out 50 of their greatest achievements. And it's looking at every time period. So it might be in kindergarten, I remember winning the coloring contest. I can still remember the little ribbon that was on the wall. It was a Mesa Verde I grew up in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And so it's like making a list of every achievement, everything that felt big at that period of your time, of your life. Mm-hmm. And you generate this list, and then you generate a list of all of the things that you overcame that felt really big at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to look at these two things and you realize that you have so much. And what are the universal lessons?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the points of connection? You know, these universal truths are always found in our stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things that TEDx wants. They don't want just inspiring stories. They want stories that allow us to see the world in a new way. How are you going to shift people's perceptions? And so when you look at your list, you can begin to see that your perspective has the power to shift the way that we think.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's in bite-sized pieces, this is a great starting point. Your two lists will allow you to really, because here's the truth of the matter. You have to own your story fully before you share it and before you recognize the power that you hold to transform other lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I love that exercise because it's like, it's different, but similar to like how I reflected my story when I was writing my book, for example. Like for me, it was kind of doing the same thing. It was like a timeline, but I was thinking like, what feels like it stood out? And even if it was a memory that like in my head, I'm like, this is random. But if it's standing out, I'm like, put it down, you know? And I'm like, where's the turning point? Like I often talk about how when I was 18, I watched The Secret, but it didn't actually mean anything in my life until I was about 22, you know, like but it was like the seed that was planted. And I was like, and if it wasn't for that, like when I was reflecting my story, I'm like, like that's really interesting that I did that when I was 22. And I wonder why I did that. And I'm like, oh yeah, like I watched The Secret when I was 18, which led me to this and this and this thought when I was older. Right. Like, so it was kind of like putting it together like that and looking at it like an investigator being like, ooh, like how does this all fit together? And then the other part that was so important for me, which I just would love to share, is like the next part of it is just like complete ownership. Because for me, I found that I could see my story and be like, yeah, but is it really value? Is it blah, blah, blah? Like, you know, I could just be like a baby about it, but I could also be like, you know what? No, I am awesome for this. And, you know, like even when I started my coaching business, I was like, I am a coach now. You know what I mean? Like so many people are like, I would love to have my own business and they never do it. Those that have the courage to start and they're here, you have the right to own it. No matter if you're just at the start or whether you're well into your business, it's like you just get to own it and be like, this is my story and there's value in it, you know? And yes. Then people will see the value even more because there's more of an ownership energy around it as well. Not just like, oh yeah, this one time, you know?
Yes, it's very true. It's about really taking on an identity. I am a writer. I am a storyteller. I am a speaker. I am a businesswoman. I'm an entrepreneur. Whatever it is
yeah.
is saying, yes, that's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is what I do.
Absolutely. I love this. This has been so awesome. You've shared so many really, really good things, and I hope you've inspired some of the people listening. I'm sure you have to like finally take the plunge towards some of these really, really big elusive goals, right?
Yes.
If there's anything else that you would love to share, like, I don't know if there's any kind of like final points that you want to share or anything else that's coming through for you that you're like, I really want you to know this, or this is kind of like a good way to sum it up. Feel free to share that.
Well, this is the thing that I would like to close with, is that we are living at a time where we have access to tools and resources and platforms that most of the people who've gone before us could never have dreamt of.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are willing to take what's in front of you,
mm-hmm.
you not only are you going to allow yourself to go through a healing process and impact others, this is literally you building your legacy. This is when you think of a talk or a book, these things live on. These are things that your children, your grandchildren, generations of other little girls and women will access. And so I love just reinforcing, taking a moment to show you that you have the ability to take a hold of these tools, and not in a cliche way, but in a literal way, change the way the world works. Change.
Mm-hmm.
You get to write history, and you get to impact so many. The ripple effect is absolutely huge. So if you are willing to be unbelievably courageous today, you can create something real and meaningful that will last for years to come. And that is a wonderful place to be in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. What a beautiful closing statement. And it was reminding me, I just have to do a shout out to one of the listeners, Laz, who would say to be a walnut, which is kind of like her terminology for being brave and courageous.
Yes.
I love it. So thank you so, so much. Where can people find you and kind of like learn more about what you do or just follow along and view your story and everything? Like what are your favorite places to link people to?
So my website is AdrianaMoniqueAlvarez.com, and I'm always hanging out on Facebook and now LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And I have a private Facebook group where all the good juicy stuff is shared, and I do a lot of free training. It's called Rich Witch Influencer.
Cool. I love it. And so that's linked in the show notes as well. So it's easy access for everybody listening to this episode. Please make sure you go connect and get in this amazing woman's vibes. And thank you so, so much, Adriana, for joining me today.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure.
Bye.